Coming up on today's show...
With this new C1 and C2, it is scientifically impossible to move your neck left and right. And I went and got x-rays with the neurosurgeon, and he cannot explain this neck mobility. And I said, but Jesus can.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net, although I need to tell you some exciting news about that, and we'll do so later on during this episode. Meanwhile, be sure that you have signed up there for free for the Catholic Sports Radio e-newsletter that gets sent out each Monday morning. That's it, just once a week. While you're there on the website doing that, look to at the top of any page on the site, and you will see social media links, logos, for this show, meaning Facebook, X, Instagram, and YouTube, so that you can engage with me and the show that way. The Catholic Sports Radio community is the Facebook group consisting of listeners of this show and some past guests. That is free to join, and you can also find a link for that, too, on catholicsportsradio.net. I love hearing from listeners, and so social media, as well as the website, all give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. You have to admire an athlete who takes responsibility when something goes wrong. It's nice to see them put their pride aside and point to themselves as if to say, that's on me. Or sometimes you'll hear an athlete in a post-game interview say, I just didn't get the job done. I need to do better. I let my teammates and the fans down, and I know that I've got work to do to be better. That is a good role model, rather than the flashiest who puts up the most impressive statistics and just wants to showboat and likely not take the blame. I'm not saying that any of this is easy, but it also mirrors how we're supposed to live as Christians, does it not? In our everyday lives, we too need to be accountable for our actions and not be a bad sport by deflecting because we only want credit and not criticism. In the Old Testament, Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13 speaks to this, saying, quote, those who conceal their sins do not prosper, but those who confess and forsake them obtain mercy, end quote. Or as it says in the Living Bible, quote, a man who refuses to admit his mistakes can never be successful. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest has coached for FC Dallas Juniors and for TOCA, which is an official soccer training partner of MLS, in addition to being a private trainer slash entrepreneur for soccer skills, camps, and events. She has 6 years of training in Krav Maga, karate, jiu-jitsu, and other forms of self-defense, and now teaches private lessons to individuals, groups, churches, and monthly women's seminars. She received ISSA certification in fitness and nutrition and worked with dietitians for 5 years, plus 25 years of experience working with various coaches and instructors. She played Division I college soccer at McNeese State University, where she was first-team All-Conference and earned the Golden Boot Award. She had been varsity soccer MVP in high school and also competed in club and other soccer programs. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Krista Steinbeiser.
Hello, everybody. I'm excited to be here.
Krista, it's great to have you on the show. Thank you for making time to talk with me today.
Absolutely. I'm really excited to just share in the good news of the gospel and just how God has moved rapidly in my life and how I can just share in these victories and overwhelming abundance with others.
Outstanding. Outstanding. You are based in Dallas, but is that where you were born and raised? If not, where? But then also, what was the family size?
Yeah, so I was born in a suburb right outside of Dallas called Allen. I went to Allen High School. I am the oldest of three. So I have two younger brothers about 2.5 years apart. They are twins.
Tell us about the presence of the Catholic faith in your household when you were growing up, including any Catholic education you might have received.
Yeah, so I would say our family was pretty consistent going to Mass on most Sundays. It wasn't like we're going to go every Sunday, we're going to go to all the holy day of obligations. It was, we'll go when it fits our schedule type thing.
Mm.
I went to religious education, and for lack of a better word, looking back, it was very lukewarm. And it was very dry. It wasn't filled with, you know, the vibrant life of the Holy Spirit and Jesus being at the center. So, right, you know, I went to the masses, I was in the sacraments, I was receiving, you know, education on, you know, what the wholeness of the Catholic Church is like, but I felt like it was very lacking in, you know, fire and just, you know, revival and just, you know, the fullness of what the Lord wants to give to us through the person of the Holy Spirit. I did have a really interesting experience in confirmation. I just remember that I really fell in love with confirmation prep. I fell in love with the retreat beforehand, and something changed in me during confirmation. After confirmation, during that day, I just remember so much just the anointing with the chrism oil over me. I received an outpouring of a gift from the Father. And even just my mom and people around me, they noticed a shift in my being. They even commented saying that I was radiating. And I did not want to take the oil off. And confirmation really sparked a hunger, like a desire to desire Jesus more. And because this desire was forming in me, I wanted to go to church more. I wanted to learn more about the Catholic faith. I was reading the catechism more. And then my family was coming with me.
Wow.
And it was great. And then so I started going to Bible studies before school and high school. I would go on retreats. I was really digging into the faith, and I was really ignited with a hunger to understand the sacraments and the Eucharist, the Eucharistic beating, living heart of Jesus. I was a hunger to understand the wholeness and the beauty of the Mass and everything about our amazing Catholic faith. So yeah, that really developed high school through college, and yeah, so much more I can speak into that.
Wow. Wow. And audience, there are no coincidences, right? You heard Krista talk about confirmation. And if you are following Catholic Sports Radio on Facebook and or X and or Instagram, you saw me post about the recent anniversary. I always know every year that May 14th, that's the date that I had made my confirmation when I was a young boy. So if you saw those posts, you're not hearing this for the first time. And by the way, let's boost up Catholic Sports Radio on X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it. We're closing in on 1,000 followers on that platform, and I'm someone that loves milestones or plateaus like that. Anyhow, Krista, we will by all means come back to your faith life, but right now just tell us about when you first got started into playing sports competitively and which sports you participated in whenever you first got into whatever one or more you were into as a young girl.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, I think I was playing soccer in the womb. Honestly, it's kind of funny, but like even my parents would say, like, if my mom was going to eat something, I would just kick it off. I would kick food off her plate. And so I, you know, as a really young child, I had a lot of energy. I just feel like I was a very, you know, free, joyful child. And they say they have videos of me dribbling a basketball without looking by age 2. And then I love sports. I was kicking soccer balls just inside our house. And then whenever I was 5, my mom asked, do you want to play a sport called soccer? Like, it involves kicking a soccer ball. And I was like, sure, but I don't know what that is. And so I started playing soccer when I was 5. And then I did a lot of other camps, like basketball camp, soccer camp, track and field camp, even like lacrosse and volleyball.
Wow.
So yeah, just since a very young age, I think sports just came very natural for me. And it was a love that turned into, unfortunately, something else, which I'm very passionate about speaking into this later. There's a healthy relationship you can have with sports, and then there's a point where it becomes unhealthy. And that is part of my journey. That is part of my testimony. And I'm here to speak into like the truth over, you know, the mental health and the relationship we can have with sports as Jesus in the center of it all.
Yeah, and that's a large part of what this Catholic Sports Radio ministry is about. So a well-placed guest audience, as you can hear for sure. Krista, in high school, you played JV basketball. You finished 17th in the entire state of Texas in varsity track and cross country. And you were MVP of varsity soccer and headed off to play Division I college soccer at McNeese State University. As important as it is to be all in with your sport, especially when you're beginning college sports, and show your coach your commitment, not to mention your skills, how does a student athlete walk the line between borderline worshiping their sport and putting God first while giving it their all on the field with the gifts and talents he has blessed them with? And where did you fall mindset-wise as you left high school as MVP of varsity soccer and headed off to play D1 college soccer?
Yeah, very, very, very good question. You know, all those things that you just mentioned, they look good and dandy on the top. Like, the world would think, you know, oh my goodness, she is so disciplined, she works hard, and all of those things, you know, MVP, 17th in the state, like, that all looks amazing to the world. But underneath, it was a really toxic seed of perfectionism and performance that was really taking a grip in my life. Mm-hmm. And instead of, you know, operating in the foundation, like the platform that God has designed us to, like, because we know who we are, we know what we have, and then we know what we can do. Instead, me, and unfortunately most of the world, is striving and working to achieve things so they feel like, so by their doing, they feel like they have something, and then they feel like they are something. And that platform will crumble. That leads to an illness. And what I mean by who we are is, like, we are beloved sons and daughters of Jesus Christ. Like, we are beautifully and wonderfully made. We were knitted together so beautifully in our mother's womb. Like, God has given us not a spirit of fear, but a spirit of adoption. We are adopted sons and daughters. And we have a baptism united to the baptism of Jesus. And when he was baptized, several things happened. The heavens opened up, and the Holy Spirit came down upon him, and he heard the Father's voice. And we are all sheep. We can hear the Father's voice. And our baptism is united to his baptism. And when we know what we have all of these things. We know what we can do. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And what we do is healthy. It comes from a place of being nourished, mind, body, and soul, with the Word in the center. And when it's the other way around, doing, it leads to sickness, it leads to illness, it leads to burnout, and it leads to injury. And that's actually what was happening behind the scenes in high school, and I really did not know what was going on. I knew that I was really good at sports, and I wanted to be the best at everything, and that mentality bled into every area of my life. Like, straight A's, I gotta be best at. I was even involved in orchestra. I gotta be first chair. I gotta do this. Like, everything I did, I felt like I had to be a master. And honestly, that was making me a god. That was very, very prideful, very selfish, and pride blinds you. Pride absolutely blinds you. And that's the thing. The world praises that. So that's the fine line where it gets toxic, where sports become almost, it can almost be a way of coping. Like, we all have wounds, right? We all have things we need healing from. And if the wounds aren't properly healed in the order that the Lord designed it, it will be a way of filling that void. Like, if I can achieve, perfect, perform, and, you know, get praises from all of my coaches and get medals and trophies, like, that covers up the root of what the Word needs to get to.
Yeah, I see that.
So that is where it gets toxic. And the healthy part of it, which I can speak into, is this is where I was starting to learn in college the healthy part of sports. And that is putting Jesus in the center, because I ended up going to McNeese State University, which is in Southwest Louisiana. And it is the Bible Belt. I mean, it was full of Christianity there. There was, like, a Catholic church on, like, every square mile of that town. And Louisiana is just full of Catholicism and Christianity. There were several other various forms of Christian churches just all throughout the area. And we were really involved in FCA, which is Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And they really preach on, you know, making God the center of your sports. And, you know, we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength was a very common just core message, Philippians 4:13, and that our bodies are a living sacrifice, as in the book of Hebrews it says, and in Thessalonians, like, we're called to pray at all times, pray without ceasing. And our work in college, our vocation was a student athlete, like, our studies, our sports life, like, we're on the bus traveling to a game, that is a prayer, and our bodies are a living sacrifice. And thanks be to God, we came into contact with that message. We had an encounter with Christ through that message. And if we were really exhausted from studying or going on a retreat, like our teammates were really big on SDA retreats and just going to masses together and other church services together, praise and worship together. And whenever we would be in the middle of a fitness test, like supernatural strength would take over and we would be so exhausted and our physical strength would not match just like the times that we could get on these fitness tests because we were tired. But when we tried to just leave it all on the field, like with the abundance mindset, like God gave us the gift to play soccer and we're just going to go all out, not in the toxic perfecting performance mindset, but it's like, we're going to give it to God. And I believe that is the healthy part of sports, but also that comes with having healthy rest. If we rest well, we will perform well. And, you know, St. Joseph, his rest was so sweet. It was precious. His rest was anointed. And because his rest was anointed, his work was anointed. And his rest, you know, the Lord revealed things to him. He spoke to him in dreams. He nourished St. Joseph. And because St. Joseph rested well, he could be the pillar of the Holy Family. He could raise baby Jesus, the Savior of the world. He was the terror of demons. And he was the spouse of the Virgin most powerful. And our rest is so important. And in our rest, it's like we get our authority. We get our authority that we are beloved Christians. We are beloved daughters and sons of Jesus.
Amen.
And with our authority, you know, everything overflows from that. So if you rest well, you rest with Jesus in the center, you will play well. And God wants us to have, you know, healthy leisure, like playing. Like soccer should be fun. It should be free. It should be joy-filled with the Holy Spirit at the center of it
Great
all.
Great point. Great point. Wow. Take us through the time right after college, faith and sports-wise. At McNeese State University, you were first-team All-Conference, earned the Golden Boot Award. You were even in the Olympic Development Program. This is a time in a young person's life when they're feeling the pressure of, okay, I'm a college graduate, time to start my career. For you, was that, okay, time to start my soccer career? And how prayerful were you being during that time, perhaps surrendering and asking the Lord, show me where you want me to be?
Yeah, and that's a thing that God switched up real quick. I thought soccer was everything, you know, like soccer. I want to play pro. I want to go here. I want to go to the best of the best school. But God changed that real fast. It's kind of funny because after I got this scholarship to play D1 soccer, you know, I spent the whole summer training. I want a starting spot. I'm going to play starting spot. And that is actually like maybe another thing I can speak into is the enemy can use that. Oh, like you're going to train for Jesus, but then you end up overtraining and you burn out.
Wow.
And that is a lie I will break off of anyone and who is carrying that in Jesus' name. We are called to rest and we're not called to put anything first other than God. And so all of this training became toxic. It was really hard on my body. And I did get a starting spot. Yeah, I thought that's what I wanted. But within, honestly, the first couple of weeks or month or so of playing college soccer, I was out for a run and I slipped on a puddle of water and I broke my wrist in two pieces.
Oh.
And it was not a funny, it was a cool story. It was just, yeah, I was out for a run with a puddle of water. I didn't see it and I slipped and I had a cast all the way up to almost my shoulder. And so there goes what I thought was my dream. There goes my starting spot. But honestly, that was so necessary for God to break through all the striving, achieving. I was gaining the whole world and losing my soul. It was like filling a cup with a giant hole in it.
Wow.
And God had to fill that. And so thanks be to God, honestly, he allowed that to happen. And he sent me a very powerful message. And, you know, the world was like, oh my gosh, you trained so hard. That's not fair to you. But deep down, spiritually, I was like, thank you, God. Like, you are first. Teach me how to put you first. And I was very stubborn. And he is still working in me to make sure that he is first. But, you know, the stronghold of performance, he was starting to chip away. And just thank you, God, for allowing that to happen.
Yeah, that's great testimony. Great testimony. Folks, we are very blessed to get great lessons week after week from some truly amazing guests on this show. They are kind enough to come on Catholic Sports Radio and share with us a wide range of experiences, some real good, some quite challenging. We heard the latter 2 weeks ago from Colleen Scariano and the personal tragedies that she experienced. And today, Carista is the latest as she has something to share with us that she says forever changed her. I am excited, however, to report this to you first before she tells us that. I had said last week on the interview with pro baseball player Brett Milazzo that there was something going on behind the scenes that I hoped to be able to reveal as soon as what is now this episode, number 277, with Krista Steinbeiser. And it has to do with the website. I teased this at the very start of today's show. For the more than 5 years of Catholic Sports Radio, the website address, you hear me say it every week, it has always been, since day one, CatholicSportsRadio.net. Long story short, CatholicSportsRadio.com finally became available. I got it. And the person who does the behind-the-scenes website work, that's above my level of understanding, got it functional to where now, whether you go to CatholicSportsRadio.net or .com, you're going to land in the same place. Praise God. If people just get wind of the show itself for the first time, they might guess that the website address would probably be CatholicSportsRadio.com. Up until now, that would have been a bad thing because it would not have landed them on this show's website. Now it will, so it only increases the chances of more people finding this show, and it gives you the option of telling people either one. The person I was referring to who got that activated charges me $90 a month. That is just one of the ongoing expenses that I face in running this ministry alone as a one-person operation. And I remind you, too, that I don't get any income from doing this show, nor do I have any sponsors. That means that I have to find a way out of my own pocket to come up with that $90 each month, plus the other ongoing expenses, which is why I ask you to prayerfully consider Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing. If this show is helping you in your faith life, if you enjoy Catholic Sports Radio, if you see value in the work that I do to keep this ministry going every week for more than 5 years now, and you believe in the mix of faith and sports and would like to support these ongoing efforts, do please pray about a financial gift to all of this that I am doing. There is a blue Donate to CSR button on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net or .com that is fast, easy, and secure. And there's no list of amounts to have to choose from. You can simply type in whatever amount you're comfortable giving. And by the way, this will allow you to use a credit card, debit card, or even PayPal. Alternatively, as some folks have opted to do, you can get in touch with me about sending a check through the mail. Contact me through the website or through social media, or simply email me via bruce@catholicsportsradio.net, and I will email you back with the details on sending something that way. Regardless of which method you use, the blue Donate to CSR button on the website or sending me a check, with your permission, I will happily say your name on the air as a public thanks, or as some have instructed me to do, you can ask to remain anonymous. I am grateful for your considering Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing as I continue working to move more people closer to Christ through the mix of faith and sports. Krista, getting back to what I said as I led into all that, 1 year ago this month, you had an experience that you say, quote, forever changed my life, end quote. Share with the audience what I'm referring to.
Yes, this is so wild. We are literally almost at a year ago today. May 19th, 2023, forever changed my life. I was at an Encounter conference in Dallas, and I experienced so many miracles at one time. And as I said, you know, the Lord was slowly chipping away at this really toxic, you know, performance driving, achieving mentality. And I see, looking back, how he really tried to have his hand over me to save me from destruction. But after college, I went through a lot of various traumas. One of them was a car crash. My neck was split in two pieces, and the neurosurgeon had to put four screws in there and a grafting bone. Two other head injuries, plus a lot of other traumas. It was, honestly, it was so crazy in my 20s. And what did I do? I went back to coping with running and working out. And this is when I got into running a lot of marathons. And again, the devil was lying to me because I thought I was praying whenever I was running. But the enemy was like, oh, if you run more miles, you can pray more rosaries. But that was a lie. And I was running probably, 12 to 20 miles a day, averaging like at least 100 miles a week, marathon after marathon. I wanted to run a marathon in every state of the U.S. I thought it was cool. I thought I was believing that I was an adventurous woman of God. But
this was obviously before the Encounter conference, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, so this is all what was going on behind the scenes, and that the Lord had to. He radically uprooted me from that mindset. And so all the running, I was literally running from Jesus. I was running from the reality that, you know, I needed healing. And the devil was lying to me that, it, you know, running was praying, running right. was good. You know, I was going on adventures, but yeah. And so now I run straight to Jesus. I run to the Blessed Sacrament and I sit at his feet and wait for him to speak to me. But that encounter conference was wild. I had a very powerful encounter with Jesus and Abba Father and the Holy Spirit. Honestly, it was like the upper room. The upper room, the Feast of the Pentecost, which is coming up next week, the birthday of the Catholic Church is what I experienced. Fire and wind came honestly rushing in and totally revived my neck injury with all the other traumas behind the scenes. Mm. I regained neck mobility that day. My neck now moves left and right. And wow. with this new C1 and C2, it is scientifically impossible to move your neck left and right. And I went and got x-rays with the neurosurgeon, and he cannot explain this neck mobility. Oh, and I said, but Jesus can. He restored it. I felt heat and tingling on my neck. The Holy Spirit, he did a mighty work. He unlocked me from the prison walls of unforgiveness, of bitterness, of resentment, of just, you know, the self-sabotage with all the running and all the working out, the lack of resting. He restored my identity. Honestly, spiritual chains came crashing down. Restored my neck mobility with many other subsequent healings. And Abba Father outstretched his righteous, victorious, loving, gentle right hand into the depths of the pain and the misery and the darkness of what I experienced. And he transferred me from a dominion of darkness into a dominion of light and vibrant life and with kingdom dreams, where peace is my inheritance, as is the inheritance of everyone. And he truly taught me that Jesus must be first. Like, we are designed to yearn and earnestly desire Jesus, and he earnestly desires us, and we are one in the vine. With him, we have abundant life. Apart from him, if we're a branch that doesn't want to be on the vine and put other things first, apart from him, we can do nothing. And so God is a God of miracles. He loves to give good gifts for his people. He totally uprooted me from what I was dealing with, the pain, the suffering, all of that. Also, a very brutal toxic eating disorder. All of that running was feeding an illness. Wow. And looking back, it started at a very young age. It started, you know, like middle school. I worked out a lot outside of practice, you know, and then I had a good, you know, sports resume in high school. And that was behind the scenes was a really brutal eating disorder. The striving, the counting, I was counting my mistakes. For every mistake I made, I thought I had to make 3 more good plays. The counting turned into counting calories, you know, counting, you know, the scale and this and that, and a really toxic way of coping. And so I don't even weigh myself. I could care less what the scale says. I care more about what Jesus, my Lord and Savior, says about me. That means more to me than anything.
Well said. Well said. Wow. Wow. That's powerful. That's powerful. And audience, if you never heard it, go back to last October and episode 244 when I interviewed Julia Webb. She is an assistant coach with the Ave Maria University cross country and track programs. And she spoke too, as Krista is saying, about, I'm going to hold up air quotes and say an eating disorder, because I don't know that Julia used those exact words, but this is all very, very informative, because let's also not lose sight, audience, of the fact that Krista was this decorated athlete who, from the outside, everyone probably looked at her and said, look at how talented she is. Look at how athletic she is. She really has it together. And it was her personal infrastructure. It's everything that you heard her say that the Lord was working on that was in complete and utter disrepair. But you would never know that, because we tend to look as a society at people that are participating in athletics and say, well, everything must be great for them. In fact, in the first half of the show, Krista, we talked about your college years. Nowadays, you're in the Encounter School of Ministry. Explain what that is and what you're learning through that.
Oh, yes. It's amazing. It's basically saying yes to Jesus. It's understanding our identity so much more, our identity and who and whose we are as his beloved children, and knowing that we are all sheep. And as sheep, we can hear the Father's voice, and getting to know what his voice sounds like, and operating in the amazing, beautiful gifts of the Holy Spirit. And when I say, like, saying yes to Jesus, he gave us a command to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. And as lay people and clergy, we all have authority to do this and a responsibility. And it is in God's very nature to heal. The gospel is not complete without the powerful miracles. He came to completely destroy the works of the enemy, mind, body, and soul. If you're dealing with an eating disorder or trauma or physical ailments, he has come to set captives free. And he wants to sanctify us in the truth, in the wisdom, just like from the Gospel of John today. Jesus is asking Abba Father that we may be one with him. fully with him, united with him in the truth, and that he is pleading on behalf of the Father that he will cover us and sanctify us in prayer, and so that we can have joy. When we're covered in all of this goodness and the graces and outpouring from the heavens, we can share in the Father's nature, in his character, and we can go out and do the mighty works that Jesus did and greater. And we are all conquerors for the kingdom. We are all mighty warriors for the kingdom. And we have land to take back as Christians. Like, we have a great calling, and it's just, you know, sharing in his goodness, understanding his goodness, and living a life of kingdom dreams, and allowing Abba Father to enter all the areas of our life and just redeem us, living in the life of the resurrection. You know, we don't have to live a life in the suffering forever. And if you are suffering right now and you have not experienced the miracle you are waiting for, I mean, rejoice. The Savior is coming. Mountains are being moved in the waiting. And just keep pressing in. Like, the Savior of the world is coming, and he promises to turn sorrow into gladness. Joy always comes in the morning, and his promises always come true. He promises to restore everything the locusts have stolen and to bring us into a life of abundance.
Beautifully said. And audience, again, I really want to encourage you, if you did not hear that conversation with Julia Webb, go back to episode 244, and you're going to see why I'm bringing this up again now with this next question that I'm going to ask to Krista. But Julia was a decorated student athlete, and she has remained an active runner. She currently holds world records for fastest 10K race and fastest half marathon finished while pushing a stroller. I want to go back, Krista, to sports and a great lesson that you learned through your experience as a runner. Tell the audience about how someone goes from doing marathons and ultra marathons and even the Boston Marathon to not having a desire anymore.
Yeah, I have no desire. I just want Jesus. And it's like, we are still called to run a race. And it's like, even in the book of Hebrews, we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, and like, run in the race with perseverance set before you, looking to Jesus, you know, looking at his holy, beautiful, beloved face. He is the pioneer. He is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the perfecter of our faith. And so that is what we are working toward. And even in the Bible, over and over again, like, St. Paul even talks about being an athlete. And, you know, God gave us bodies. In our bodies, we live and move and we have our being. So there is a healthy way to be active and to glorify God through our bodies. We can all still be athletes. And that's what the business that I built is called, Ignite Athlete Training, because we are athletes by nature. We are contending for a prize, and the prize is heaven. It's eternal salvation with Jesus Christ, co-reigning with him and co-partnering with the Holy Spirit in this life. And the Holy Spirit is my CEO, and it is the best life ever. And that's why I don't have a desire to do Boston or marathons. It was really not good. And there are some people who encourage me, oh my gosh, you're so much more restful now. Like, you're nourished more, whatever. You're taking care of yourself. You could probably run better. I'm like, no. That is feeding an illness that the Lord redeemed me from. And what is in the past stays in the past. It does not come with me in my present or my future.
But then tell us more about Ignite Training and your practice and coaching mindset / mission.
Yeah, so Ignite was basically a word chosen as a coaching mindset, like Ignite. Like, Ignite is like the Holy Spirit. Like, allow the Holy Spirit to come in and just ignite, unlock, unleash your authentic desires and dreams and joys, you know, through soccer training and self-defense training, anti-diet, fitness, and nutrition, because this world is so full of toxic diet messages. And I'm here to just speak truth over all of my clients. And you mentioned, you know, FC Dallas Juniors, you know, most of my soccer kiddos that I coach are ages like 5 through like 15. And yeah, I'm just here to, you know, create a platform that is safe, that is fun, it is joy-filled, encouraging, where they can just come and just be their childlike self, because the kingdom of God is truly in the children. And when they come and they play soccer for me, if we have a fun environment, you know, they will get better. And I see that. I see that so much. It's so great, because there's two ways to get better. As I mentioned, you can get better by driving toxic and condemning messages down the player's throat. And they will get better out of fear and performance. They will get better, 100%. But will that result in longevity, good mental health, and physical, spiritual health? No, it leads to burnout. So I'm looking for longevity. I'm looking to literally, like, ignite revival fire. And to everyone who comes and trains with me, you know, just through soccer, self-defense, anti-diet, fitness, and nutrition. And when they are having fun, when they are empowered, when they can find their voice, And when they are confident, they will thrive on and off the field. I'm here to literally just share in the good news of the gospel. And I care about who they are off the field, because who they are on the field is usually who they are off the field. So, for example, in soccer, if they have trouble asking for the ball, if they just don't want to, you know, make the good play, they are probably struggling with confidence. And if they can't find their voice, they could be getting picked on at school. They could be getting bullied, or longer term, if they are not confident, that will bleed into other areas of their life. And on the other hand, if they are confident, if they are making plays and they are finding their authority on the soccer field, and that means they're finding their authority in other areas of their life. And that is very impactful and healthy for the rest of their lives. So it's really cool how I'm able to teach the younger generation these messages. And then with self-defense, it's just all about, you know, standing up for yourself in Jesus' name. And he gave us amazing bodies that are temples of the Holy Spirit. And he says in Song of Solomon that there is no flaw in you. You are altogether beautiful, my love. So men and women, you know, families, children, it's like we are called to set boundaries. And Jesus had righteous anger. He set boundaries in his temple. And it is good to speak up and advocate for yourself, because if you say no to something, you are saying yes to something else, your dignity and your beauty. And so just knowing how to de-escalate things and get home safely is a good tool that I'm also passionate about teaching. And then, of course, we also spoke about the anti-diet fitness and nutrition. It's just how to love your body, how to just have a healthy relationship with fitness and eating and making sure you nourish, because when you nourish your body, you nourish your mind, you nourish your soul, you nourish your dreams, your desires, your relationships, and you nourish your rest. And so it's just nourishing all areas of our life. Nourishing is like a fire, feeling a fire. When we nourish all areas of our life, the fire will be vibrant. It will be life-giving. It'll give life to the whole room and light and just good. But if the fire is not properly nourished, it will grow dim and cold. It'll be like coals that's just struggling to be alive. And so I'm very big on proper nourishment and just taking care of who you are, because you are beautifully, wonderfully made. You have the image and the nature of the Father.
Is everything that you do on site, in person, in Dallas? Because audience, I am going to put a link on the show page for this episode on the website, CatholicSportsRadio.net, to the Ignite Training website. But Krista, can you work with people remotely, say over video conferencing, or is it everything that I've just talked about? I only do that face-to-face.
Yeah, it can be remote for sure. Remote, phone, and then, yeah, face-to-face.
Okay, so folks, do look for that link on the show page for Krista's episode on the website. Krista, you have been blessed to do so, so many pilgrimages. I would love to close by having you pick just one of them and share with us a spiritual highlight that you took away that perhaps you still hang on to this day.
Yeah, it was wild. I would give a shout-out to Our Lady of Lourdes. That was wild. That was fire. I mean, Our Lady is a spouse of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, if the Holy Spirit truly comes in wind and fire and all of these things, if the Holy Spirit gives us, you know, prophecy, teaching, the Holy Spirit gives us all of these good gifts for the upbuilding of the church, like wisdom, knowledge, you know, healing, working miracles, joy, love, peace, patience, you know, the fruits, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Well, Our Lady had all of them. She was totally spoused in the most pure, beautiful, loving way. And she desires to literally impart the same knowledge and wisdom and love and purity that she has onto all of us. And I experienced something really radical at Our Lady of Lourdes. I went there a couple of years ago, and this was before the Encounter Conference miracle. And oh my goodness, Our Lady was definitely interceding whenever I went. And honestly, I really think I started seeing the gifts and the fruits of the Spirit taking place that day, because there are healing waters you can go and touch that come underneath the statue of Our Lady. And I remember after I touched those waters, I really heard a voice from the Lord. It's either Our Lady or the Lord himself. Either way, it was powerful. And really giving specific directions to go and lay my hands in bath number two, because the baths were closed because of COVID, but you could still touch the waters. Mm-hmm. So I got specific instructions, go in number two, but then I also went in one. So I went back and forth between one and two, one and two, one and two. And honestly, like, this was so crazy, because after all of that, my dad also received the same message, go in one and two. And that was crazy. We weren't together when that happened. I woke up early, so I was able to go to the Mass beforehand, and I was able to experience this by myself with the Lord and Mother Mary. And so my dad had the same message. And I went there with my parents. And my mom was like, I didn't get that message. But like, was doing a mighty work in our family, just a really restorative, revival work, a gentle, loving work. And it was so amazing. And also like that day, I experienced the gift of tongues was coming out and also resting in the spirit. Like the Holy Spirit took over and my body was super cold and I couldn't move. And sometimes the Holy Spirit, when he comes, you can feel heat, you can feel tingling, you can feel coolness, like an ocean breeze come over you. And there are groanings that come out. And, you know, St. Paul, he speaks about this in the Bible, earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, like make love your aim, but earnestly desire the gifts, especially that you may prophesy. He talks about the gifts and, you know, speaking in tongues and resting in the spirit. He goes on and on and on in his writings. And that is what was happening at Lourdes. And Our Lady, you know, wow. She is literally a prophetic woman of grace and fire. And like I said, she wants to impart her healing, her purity of mind, her wisdom, her beauty, her leadership, her gentleness onto us. And my dad and I had a very powerful experience that day. And it was really amazing. And yeah, Our Lady was all over that. Mm. She really interceded. And yeah, and that's what scripture says. If we suffer with Jesus, we rise with Jesus. And she taught me how to unite my suffering to her and with Jesus. And she suffered so well with her son. And she also rise victoriously with him. And that's why we celebrate the Assumption. It's amazing. And it's just, there's so many things I could speak about, but that was a really powerful encounter at Our Lady of Lourdes.
That's exactly the word that I had in my mind. So powerful, so powerful. My gosh.
Yes.
And audience, Krista, as I said, has been blessed to do so many pilgrimages, so you can just imagine the experiences that she's had elsewhere. Krista, thank you so much for making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio. It's been so wonderful to listen to your testimony, and I really appreciate you making time to speak with me today. Thank you.
Thank you. It's been so great. God bless y'all.
Audience, Krista, as you heard, spent so many years as an athlete that I was leaning towards doing one of our athlete's prayers, our closing prayer, and I just couldn't find peace with it. And I thought, what a hypocrite I would be after I had told Krista that the Holy Spirit will guide the conversation to where it needs to go. And I'm just particularly fond to the prayer to the Holy Spirit that we use in the Curcio movement. My fellow Curcioistas, you should know this prayer. So let's do this week as our closing prayer and pray it together, of course, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of us your faithful, and kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and we shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth.
Amen.
Let us pray. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit instructs the hearts of the faithful, grant that by the same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolations, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.